What he said was that the quantity of documents might make a difference. But he does believe that you could bifurcate it into a, that the right analysis is, in fact, you know, if the, how long were the documents available versus having a relatively short time for the certification. And his reasoning was is that if you've identified the witness in accordance with the rule, what's the difference between the witness and the certification? Did I get that right?
No.
Okay. I'm a government employee. Close is all I'm trying to get to. All right. I want to take a look at a – I went looking for what was a typical business records affidavit. And I actually came upon this affidavit in numerous websites as being a business records affidavit. And I want to tell you, I think this is just horrible. So, and I want you to take a look at what it says. First of all, it's just full of conclusory statements, right? It says, I am the custodian of records. Number one, it may not even be necessary. And two, does it really tell you anything at all? But it does commit you to being a custodian, right? So you run into the problem that Judge Isger faced. You know, maybe this person is in charge of managing the department that produced the records. Any need to officially be a custodian of records? My view is no. Let's take a look at paragraph 5. It is the regular practice of said business for an employee or representative with knowledge of the act, event, incident, order, transaction, invoice, condition, photo, video, recording, audio, recording, opinion, or diagnosis to make the record. That give you confidence? It's certainly all-encompassing. Does that give you confidence someone's actually paid attention to this, as someone really knows? Take a look at paragraph 6. The said records were made at or near the time of the occurrence of the matter set forth by or from information transmitted by a person with knowledge of those matters. Again, does that give you any confidence at all that a reasonable inquiry was made or that an effort was to comply with the rule? You know, my view of this is that if this affidavit isn't objected to, you didn't need the business records exception in the first place. If you are going to do this by affidavit, I would suggest that you really pay attention to the affidavit. If you want a form on your system, by all means have a form as a starting place. But I really do think you need to pay attention to that affidavit. You need to make it fit the circumstances that you're facing, so that when opposing counsel, when the judge picks it up, they read it and they have confidence that you've actually read the rule, considered it, and you've actually got a presentation that makes sense. All right. Now, talked way too much on that one. All right. So, if you are on the other side, and despite all of your best efforts, a record is admitted under the business records exception, does that mean you've lost? The answer is, you know, maybe not. You need to take a look at what your record says. So you've got Federal Rule of Evidence 805 that provides that hearsay within the business record is not excluded if the hearsay statement conforms with an exception to the rule against hearsay. Let's turn that around a little bit and make it work for the person opposing the admission. It means that if you've got a hearsay statement within the business record, the movement's got to provide an independent hearsay exception or exclusion from the statement in order to have it admitted. So let's think about a business record. You know, you lose the battle. But the business record has the statements of a third party in it. And there isn't an independent exclusion that exists. Have you really hurt yourself if you get admitted a business record that says, record, it's blank, signed by John Berger, with nothing in it? So don't give up just simply because you lose the initial. You need to pay attention to what's in the record. You need to make sure that you put the person moving the evidence in, or moving the document into evidence, that you put them to their burden. If you're offering, you need to make sure that you pay attention to the statements that are in your record and be prepared to offer a separate exclusion or exception that justifies including that hearsay statement into it. All right. So here's the fun part, at least for me. All right. So now you're in for your test. You've eaten, you're all ready. I want you to keep score. And I did a survey of cases dealing with the business records exception in the Fifth Circuit. So I'm going to give you five scenarios, and let's test your knowledge. Here's the first one. Problem number one. Debtor is trying to get reimbursed some fees and expenses. So evidently the relationship had disintegrated to the point where the lawyer would no longer come to the hearing. So the debtor offered the affidavit. I'm joking about that part. The debtor offered the affidavit of the attorney under 90211 to authenticate fee statements as business records. In the affidavit, the attorney stated that the fee statements were prepared by him or others in his firm, that the statements contained accurate descriptions of the time spent on the case, they were prepared and kept in the regular course of the firm's business, and that they were prepared at or near the time of the events or conditions recorded.